Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Hi, and welcome back to TechNet Radio. I'm Charlie Harker. As we close out scripting month here on TNR, we thought it was only appropriate to bring back everyone's favorites, the scripting guys. We'll hear what they're up to these days. Kevin Remdy will speak to them about such topics as PowerShell, Windows Remote Management, and headless servers. Headless! It's not going to be scary, though. Don't worry. The scripting guys would never do that. Also on the way, we'll speak with Aurora Queen. She's going to talk about upcoming webcasts and events you'll want to know about. First up, though, here's Kevin Remdy on TechNet Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome to another TechNet Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Remdy, and I'm an IT pro evangelist with Microsoft. And today I have the distinct pleasure of talking to the scripting guys. These are four people at Microsoft that are very involved in the Script Center at Microsoft and putting together communities, doing articles on scripting and webcasts and all sorts of great things for you who are interested in doing everything that has to do with scripting. So with me we have Dean Saltis, Greg Stemp, Gene Ross, and Peter Constantini. I'm going to ask each one of them just to quickly introduce themselves and what they do at Microsoft, what their primary role is. So Dean, you're first.
Hi, Kevin. I'm a programming writer is what my actual title is. That just means I write stuff, basically, and write some sample code. And in the past, I've worked with Greg, Gene, and Peter on the Scripting Center directly, lots of different stuff, and doing webcasts and that sort of thing. These days, I'm focused more on PowerShell, our new scripting environment and command shell environment.
Okay. Greg?
Well, basically, I, with some help from Gene, do the Script Center. So we write all the articles, we do all the artwork, we do the whole thing. And, that's pretty much all we do, but that's enough.
Okay, and Gene Ross, who joins us from vacation. Gene?
Yeah, good thing Greg told you what I did, because I've been trying to forget about it for the last week and a half.
So, don't worry, Gene, we forgot in a hurry what it was you did. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I work on the Script Center.
Okay, and Peter Constantini.
I'm a programming writer in Windows Enterprise Management Division, and I work on scripting and related technologies and sometimes contribute to the Script Center.
Okay.
See, that's what we were talking about earlier. Peter, man, I mean, he works for the Windows Enterprise Management Division. The rest of us
okay, one
just,
acronym
hey,
for me.
Man.
I at least said I'm a programming writer, right? So I got a bit of the technique.
Yeah, you got a little bit of that.
A little bit.
I just learned that recently.
Well, for listeners at home, we're having a little acronym contest as well. So if you know, someone throws out more than their share of acronyms, they get a prize, I guess, today. So you listen for that. So, Dean, let's go back to you. And I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, in depth about what you're working on, what's getting you
excited.
Oh, not in
depth. Come on.
I'm sorry?
Not in depth. I mean, it's early in the week.
Okay.
Don't worry, Dean.
Okay.
Dean, it's a short show.
You guys back me up if I get off track here.
Now you're very much working on the PowerShell. That's your main...
Yeah, that's been my focus, especially over the past 6 months in particular.
Okay. And you are also working on a scripting week series of webcasts, is that right?
Yeah, we haven't done one for a while, and this is actually... doing those scripting weeks is probably the funnest thing that that we do as a team, so we're all kind of looking forward to it. PowerShell is something new for all of us, and we're excited to get together again and have one of these weeks and try to let everyone know what's going on with PowerShell. What is this new thing? And give it sort of a scripting guy's spin as best we can. So, yeah, we're starting to work on that. It's going to be November, and here's where I'll need some help. Is it the 6th, Greg?
6th through the 10th.
To the 10th, right? Okay. So, yeah, we've been you know, exploring PowerShell ourselves, trying to come up with some good ways of explaining some of the neat new concepts in PowerShell. And, you know, just bringing the team back together, see if we can get Pete to write some songs for us, if you will. And we're all going to be participating, so we're having a lot of fun with it.
Very good. Very good. All about PowerShell. Let me just ask you, what is the thing that excites you the most about PowerShell? I mean, there's a lot of great things about it, but what particularly do you find interesting?
Well, what's really good is that after sort of being kicked off the scripting guys team, it allowed me to keep my job because there's something for me to do. But outside of that... actually, what I find most interesting, I guess, is the opportunity to go and explore a bit of the .NET framework. So if you look at our scripting technologies that we've had around batch scripting and Wish scripting or Windows Script Host scripting, they've enabled us to get at command line tools in one case, than the sort of mixed command line tool usage with scriptable COM objects. And now PowerShell kind of opens another world of enablers. So by that I mean things that can do tasks for you when you're writing your scripts. And those set of enablers is the .NET Framework class library, and it's something that working on scripting and doing COM scripting in the past 3 or 4 years, I haven't done much with the .NET Framework, and I know a lot of our customers haven't, system admin customers haven't explored it that much. And so I find it really exciting to dig into that and see what's there for system admins, and tease out some interesting examples, and teach people how to use it. So it's lots of fun.
Yeah, and you're also you're working on the user guide for PowerShell. You're also writing some of the end product help. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Actually, June Blender and I, June's not on this. She's a little camera shy, but maybe at some point, or radio shy, we'll get her participating in some of these things. But yeah, June and I did the in-product help for all the commandlets, and we worked on some of the about topics, which is conceptual information in the product. And then we had kind of a nice collaboration with Alex Angelopoulos, who's one of our MVPs. Working on a user guide. I think it's actually going to be called a primer now when we put it out. That was initially a user guide.
Okay.
And yeah, that was good fun. Alex really did the brunt of the work there, and so he brings a real customer focus, has a good sense of what system admins need to do. And June and I put a little bit of a co-author spin on it and got it into the dry Microsoft tones. But yeah, it was good fun. We learned a lot from Alex, and hopefully he at least learned how to spell my last name or something. Yeah, it was good fun.
Or pronounce it, yeah.
Yes.
And that's terrific. Well, we certainly love our MVP, so that's great when we have that collaboration going, too.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I understand there's going to be a new release or another a new version of a beta coming out sometime soon, if it's not out already?
Well, there's RC1's already available for download
Okay. Right
now, and we're looking at getting sort of the V1, which is going to ship with Exchange and be sim shipped, as I understand it, on the web. Disclaimer here, I'm not much with the dates and stuff, so I know that we're finishing it up on our end. I'm not exactly sure when it'll be available, but the good news is that if you go to Script Center right now and you go and search around for PowerShell links, you'll pretty easily find a place to download and install the RC1 build.
And excellent.
And that's very usable. Yeah.
And this is installable on what platforms?
Well, you need to be able to run the .NET Framework 2.0, and it will work on Windows 2000 and up, basically. So XP is a great platform if you got that to run it on.
Very good.
Yeah.
I think that's a surprise to most people. People think that the PowerShell, that's just going to run on Vista, or I have to wait for Longhorn, or,
Well, that's one of the good things of having a virtual machine environment, the .NET Framework. If you can backport the framework, even if you port it to Unix or something, it should be a fairly easy job to get PowerShell to run on it. So most of PowerShell is written in a .NET language and runs on the .NET framework.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Thank you, Dean.
You're quite welcome.
Greg yes. Stemp, you are focused primarily on the community piece of things, as you mentioned. You work on the Script Center. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, what we're trying to do is right now, Gene and I are the two who are primarily on the Script Center. And, that's just two of us, and, let's face it, Gene's not that good, so really it's just one of us. And it's hard for us to keep up, right? People ask us, we get, 50, 60, 70 emails a day asking questions. How do I do this? Do you have a script that does that? And truthfully, we can't keep up with it. And so what we're trying to do is get the community involved, because there are tons of people out there who are way better at this stuff than we are. And we're just trying to find a way to reach these guys and get them to share some of their work with the rest of the world.
Okay. So how does one get to the Script Center, and then how would one participate in that community?
Well, if you go to the Script Center homepage, and that's at Microsoft.com/TechNet/Script Center, and that's all one word. And on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a little gray box, and it says Community Submitted Script Center. Click on that, and that'll take you to the homepage for the Community Center, and then, from there you can just follow the links.
Okay. Terrific. And then that sounds good that you're certainly not short of material, and there's a lot of people that are not only asking a lot of great questions, but then getting a lot of good answers, too, because you've had a chance to investigate some of this. And as you said, if we can get the community, we can all be very, very good at submitting really good examples or real-world scenarios.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think there's a tendency for people, kind of a stereotype that, right, if Microsoft does it, it's really good, but if somebody from the community does it, it's, you know, kind of amateurish. That is definitely not the case.
No.
We have a lot of scripts that have been submitted by people that, to be honest, I really wish I hadn't posted, because someday my manager is going to look at that and say, why did we hire you instead of this guy? This guy knows what he's doing. So,
are you guys doing
actually, he does that every day anyway, but that's...
Well.
So, Greg, you got to start reading like stuff on the Internet as opposed to the intranet regarding our, you know, everything at Microsoft is great and other people don't do good stuff.
Why, do some people not like Microsoft?
That's what I've heard occasionally.
No, come on.
Well, that's why we kicked Dean out of the scripting guide, because he has all these outlandish ideas.
Very negative about it.
Yeah. Looking outside, terrible. now, Gene,
yes.
You and I, again, I want to thank you for joining us, even though you're attempting to relax on vacation here.
Yeah, well, that's gone now.
But I understand that we've undone that. But I want to talk a little bit with you about Vista, because I know that's what one of your passions right now. You're working on how scripting is really going to work in Vista and some new opportunities and new technologies that are available to us, right?
Yeah, so, you know, in spite of Greg's claim that I don't do anything at all, I actually have been looking around at Vista.
I mean, actually, I think I said you were practically useless, not totally useless.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, I feel better now.
Okay.
So, anyway, there's a lot of new scripting capabilities that's going to be shipping with Vista. There's a lot of updates to WMI, which, you know, things like, you know, people have always wanted to be able to enable and disable network adapters, which you could never do before. Well, with Vista, you can do that through a script. So there's a lot of things like that. You know, they've added new classes and properties and things like that. And then some of the big things, like the task scheduler. There was very limited task scheduling capability through scripts prior to Windows Vista. And now they've added an entirely new scripting API to the task scheduler tool. So basically, pretty much anything you can do within the task scheduler tool, you can also do through a script now, which is going to be a huge improvement.
Wow. So this is, and because the task scheduler is so much more flexible and powerful than the previous versions as well, it even adds that much more power to this. So being able to roll out and create those tasks and configurations for the sake of you know, administration, for example, launching particular processes at different times, things like that.
Oh, yeah, you can do it based on time, based on events. You know, you can start a script based on a certain event that happened. So there's a lot you can do with it.
Start a script, launch an email, launch a program, yeah.
Yep.
Very, very good. Okay, have you worked, have you personally worked with PowerShell much in terms of, or in the context of Vista and using some of these new APIs?
Not within Vista much, no.
Okay, so pretty much you're using the technologies that we're all familiar with now currently with scripting.
Oh, yeah, everything that we've been using before, there's just more of it now.
And yeah, great. And that's good, too. I mean, and that's certainly one concern a lot of people have, I'm sure, is that, well, now PowerShell's coming out. That means they're going to do away with all the other scripting technologies, and we're going to have to learn PowerShell. But
it's
not
a requirement right now.
No.
Yeah, VBScript's still around, and it'll still be around for a little while.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Peter.
Yeah.
You are working with Compute Cluster Server. You're doing some HPC stuff.
Yeah, there's that's something new for Microsoft. I should just explain my role in the scripting guys a little bit. I'm sort of...
I can't wait to hear this, Peter.
Yeah, no, I had a flash here. I'm kind of the rag and bone man of scripting guys. I wander around the corridors of Windows and the servers kind of looking for interesting bits of technology to pick up and stick in my sack and then try to automate them. And I've been kind of working with a couple of those things I found, and Compute Cluster is a really interesting one. Actually, I don't mean to compare it with rags and bones, but it's a whole product unto itself. It works closely with Windows Server 2003 64-bit variety, and it's, as you said, Kevin, it's Microsoft's entry into the high-performance computing world. You know, high-performance computing used to mean supercomputers that were enormously expensive and big things that sat in a special cold room and had to kind of high priests in white lab coats that took care of them. That world has changed a lot, and now much more of it, the dynamic sector of it, is clusters of regular server computers you can get for
maybe $1,000, a couple $1,000 that are networked together with very high speed networks. And you can, even on a cluster of four, you can run significant parallel computing applications that work in fields like, say, oil exploration or financial calculations or weather simulation, you know, the kind of things that need really a lot of computing horsepower to do the calculations. And parallel computing means you break up these complicated calculations between the different processors and organize them in a way that you get sort of more, the whole is more than the sum of the parts. So Compute Cluster Server just shipped in June, and it lets you do that for $5,000 to $10,000. You can put a supercomputer on your desk or in your department or in your division. And that's, of course, with a little bit more, you can have something that there's already a few, I think a couple of Microsoft-powered machines on the top 500 list that they maintain of supercomputers. Mm. My interest in that is that it's a great case for scripting because it has its own scripting API for dealing with both managing the cluster and the nodes and also managing the jobs and tasks on it. It's a quite a complete, pretty well thought out API that you can script with VBScript or any script you want. And it also has nice command line tools. But also, Compute Cluster integrates with, of course, Windows, all of WMI, when you need to manage the machine, the various parts of the machines as computers or the operating system, mm-hmm. and it integrates with Active Directory. It uses Active Directory for authentication, so you can use ADSI, and the list goes on. So it's a great case for trying out how all of our scripting technologies work together.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a matter of you're looking at a cluster, not, you know, certainly as a whole at one point, you're looking at it as this cluster of power, and then at the same time, you need to be able to address each individual node of that cluster, and using the scripting and the APIs is going to do that.
Yep. You may have, like, an admin who's responsible for, say, I don't know, 50 different little clusters in their organization, and it's not the kind of thing where you want to TS into each one of them and do things. You want to automate it, and that's where, when you see those scenarios, you say, yep, here's something we can script. So it's been a really interesting process working with the team to figure those things out. And, of course, we're just in the middle of it now.
Yeah. Now, you also, and this may be related to this, I'm not sure if it's a separate thing or if it's combined with this, but you also mentioned that you're working on Windows Remote Management, and that's one of your interests right now. Ways to remotely connect and manage servers.
It's separate, really. There's not a connection at this point.
Okay.
But Windows Remote Management is a couple of technologies that are put together also. There's been a demand for hardware that can monitor itself for, like, headless servers and for ways to communicate with that hardware, like, say, before it's even booted up or after it, if it crashes. And this is really an industry-wide effort. There's two things. There's Intelligent Platform Management Interface, which is, in our case, it's a WMI provider and driver, and it's an industry-wide standard for how to control little machines, little devices called baseboard management controllers that sit on the motherboards of these servers and but have an independent network connection. So you can, that lets you, whether or not the machine is running, you can get at these little devices and ask what the temperature is and is the fan running and questions like that. And to get to them, in some cases you're going across a firewall, you're going places where security is very critical. There's a whole new industry-wide initiative of web services, interrelated web service standards for the protocols, and WS Management is one of them, and Windows Remote Management is Microsoft's implementation of the WS Management standard that lets you use a web service to talk across a firewall or in any situation, really, to other machines that can run it, and that goes beyond Windows.
Okay, so you're running you have essentially a small machine as part of the bigger machine, the server, and that small machine is able to have its own communication with you about what's going on in that box.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Baseboard management controllers are starting to appear, actually, on the market now.
And you mentioned the term headless servers. I think for the sake of some of our listeners who don't understand what that is, could you define that for us?
Yeah, sure. A server in the big server rooms, like, I don't know, in the national media, there's been a lot of talk lately about server in eastern Washington, in our state, east of the mountains, there are these new and gigantic installations, big buildings filled with racks of servers that are used for various web by different companies to run their web servers for other things like that. There's not a, these things are isolated off there. Headless server just means that you don't walk up to it and work on the keyboard. You need to access it in bulk from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So picture, yeah, big server rooms where you don't want to go in there. They don't want people for security reasons walking around there, and there's too many machines that you have to manage to do it that way anyway.
Well, now we have to just come up with a good Halloween costume and explain to people that I am the headless server.
That's right.
Something to work on out there.
I'd actually like to see the headed server.
The headed server, yeah.
Yeah, googly eyes and stuff.
Now, how is it easiest to find the work of the scripting guys on the web? You mentioned the Script Center, and there's certainly other avenues you guys have. Is anybody doing any blogging among you, or is anyone doing any other writing for periodicals, anything like that?
We do have a column that's in TechNet magazine every month.
Hmm.
So, called Hey Scripting Guy, which is the only title we have for pretty much everything we do.
But
that's a regular monthly feature.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's there.
For PowerShell, I'm not doing any blogging. I think I maybe did one blog entry, but the PowerShell team, the developers, PMs, and even the architect, Jeffrey Snover, they're actually very active bloggers, and part of the reason I don't do it, well, number one, I'm lazy, but number two is that these guys really have it covered. So Lee Holmes, for instance, a developer on the team, he's a really good writer and a blogging maniac. Jeffrey, the architect, seems to get on there and give little hints pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a very active blogging community, and to find the main team blog, you can actually go to the Script Center, the PowerShell section, and it'll say, you know, PowerShell team blog or something like that.
Okay.
Also, there's quite a community already growing up around PowerShell blogging and PowerShell in general, and a lot of them blog. So just go to your favorite search engine, I won't name one, and type in, you know, PowerShell blog, and you'll get a lot of stuff back. There's one interesting blogger whose name, and he's a very active fellow, and his name is Mow, M-O-W, done in some fancy ASCII text or something. And so there's lots of characters out there for sure, and a lot of them are doing some really good work. So.
Very good.
Yeah, for a compute cluster, there's a nice community site called WindowsHPC.net, and it's got blogs by a lot of the developers and some forums, things like that. So that's, I mean, that's not ours, but I work with the people who are doing that, and that's another source.
If we at least know the people, we can claim it as our own, right?
Yeah, so, well, of course. We
all
we
the good stuff,
them.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Gene, let me jump back to you for a second. Is there any good resources that you could point us to in terms of the new WMI options and the task scheduler API in Vista?
Mostly just the SDK. We have an article on it on the Script Center. We have a page devoted to Windows Vista. It just has a few articles right now. But other than that, everything, there's a lot of stuff in the SDK if you're looking for that kind of thing right now.
Okay. Any other resources anyone wants to throw out? Because, you know, blogging certainly is a big deal, and you guys are great giving us some of those authors. And
TechNet Radio, man.
TechNet Radio is a great resource.
Radio.
And if you're listening to this radio broadcast, you already know about it.
I already know about it, exactly.
For Windows Remote Management, there's also a lot of stuff. It's primarily in the SDK. We don't have anything up yet on the Script Center, but in the SDK, just look for WinRM or Windows Remote Management, and there's quite a bit on scripting.
Hey, what about Don Jones's thing?
Scriptinganswers.com.
Yes.
Scriptinganswers.com, right?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Thank you very much, folks. Again, I want to thank Dean Sialtis, Greg Stemp, Gene Ross, and Peter Costantini. You guys are awesome. We really love the work you're doing. Please keep it up.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin Remde with the Scripting Guys here on TechNet Radio. Up next, Aurora Queen has some ideas of webcasts you'll want to check out. Also on the way, she'll tell us what's going on in the world of tech and different events you might want to see. Here's Aurora Queen on TechNet Radio.
Hello and welcome to the TechNet Radio events calendar. Today is Tuesday, September 26th. I'm Aurora Queen. I hope you're doing well today. I don't have a lot for you this week, but for all you folks over there in the UK, I did want to let you know about Ad Tech London, which takes place tomorrow, Wednesday, September 27th, and Thursday, September 28th. Dedicated exclusively to interactive advertising and marketing technologies such as internet marketing, search engine marketing, email marketing, mobile marketing, and e-commerce, AdTech London is the only event in the UK that gives its visitors the opportunity to investigate a complete range of end-to-end interactive advertising and marketing solutions. So if you're interested in that, visit ad-techlondon.co.uk. And since it's all about the scripting guys this week, if you want to hear more from them, and I know you do, check out their Script Center webcast page. That URL is microsoft.com/WACTechNet/ScriptCenter/webcasts/archive.mspx. And I don't see the URLs yet for their upcoming series in November, but you can always check back at microsoft.com/webcasts to register for those. And since I know you're a podcast fan, I thought I'd tell you about the Scripting Week 3 audio-only podcasts. And for those, you can go to microsoft.com/TechNet/ScriptCenter/Audio/SWeek3.mspx. And I'll put both those URLs up on our site as well, since they're a bit lengthy. And our site is microsoft.com/TNRadio. Okay, so now that I've inundated you with all those URLs, I'll let you go. Just a reminder that I do love email, so drop me a line at tnradio@microsoft.com. For TechNet Radio, I'm Aurora Queen.
Aurora Queen on TechNet Radio. Well, that wraps up our scripting month here on the show. I hope you've learned something, and we also hope that if you want to find out more information about any of the guests we've had over the month, go to our website, www.microsoft.com/TNRadio. We have a link to all our past shows and some helpful links on scripting you might not otherwise know about. So check that out. On behalf of Aurora Queen and Kevin Remdy, I'm Charlie Harger. Thanks for listening to TechNet Radio.